Hi, my name is Lulu Sullivan. I'm 16 years old and I lost my father 3 years ago. After his passing, I struggled a lot, especially when trying to connect with people about my grief.
I created Teen Grief because I've always wanted a resource that dealt with the specific pain I feel as a teenager. That desire for support and the realization that others may feel the exact same way is what inspired me to create this podcast. I hope that my questions for the experts and guests answer some of yours. This is Teen Grief. Today, I'm speaking with Susan Romero, who is an award-winning educator that has been teaching young people for 28 years on both coasts of the country. She's the author of Teens Dealing with Death, Stories from My Students, and has an upcoming book titled What I Couldn't Teach You in the Classroom, about the power of love in the face of loss. Ms. Romero has also worked for 2 seasons with Camp Aaron, the largest national bereavement program for youth grieving the death of a significant person in their lives. Ms. Romero, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
In your book, Teens Dealing with Death, Stories from My Students, you say that your students, quote, found peace in knowing that others in their class had gone through the same pain and that they were not the only one. Can you describe these relationships that your students formed and the way the students came together and how great of an impact did finding comfort in each other make to each's well-being?
All right, so let me just do a little bit of background. So at that time, I was probably teaching 23 years. And normally, you know, I'll see a student or two or know of a student or two that had suffered the loss of a significant person in their life. At this point, I started thinking, that's not the same person that told me that, and that's not the same person that told me about that. I've got a lot of kids who have suffered from loss. So I had this light bulb go off, and I said, you know, I said, they'd probably really benefit, you know, from learning from each other or knowing that they're not alone. And I just saw an opportunity to heal a lot of them at the same time. So I said into each of my classes, I said, hey, I'm starting to notice that there's been a pattern. There's a lot of you that have suffered a significant loss. If you're interested, come see me at break. I kind of want to talk to you about an idea I have. So when they all showed up at break, I said, hey, I said, I noticed that, you know, through our discussions and assignments that you guys have suffered, would you have benefited from hearing and learning about what you were about to go through or what you had gone through from another young person like yourself? And they're like, absolutely. So I go, you guys want to be that? And they're like, yeah. I go, you guys want to write a book? You guys want to tell your story and put it out there? And they're like, absolutely. I said, okay. So we had a parent meeting at a restaurant, local bot that was local, and the parents came, and then we wrote individually, and they told their stories. They didn't know each other primarily. They might have been in the same classroom. Like period 4 had 4 kids, period 6 had like 3 kids. Like in this, that's just in a classroom of 25 to maybe 31. And you have that many who had lost a significant person. Once they realized and they were in that room, it became kind of like a camaraderie, a group. And then when once we did finish the book and the media got a hold of it, and then they started calling them the healing writers, and they just really connected.
And did it make a really big impact on your students?
Oh. Okay, I don't know if you've read it, but there was this young man named Oris, and his dad was the Iraqi citizen that was helping the United States government and was killed. And he had never talked about it with anybody, not even family. And he and I sat down, and he told me his story. And he's bawling. Just bawling. And I'm just typing as he's bawling. And it's just the two of us. And he gets up and he's like, oh my God, I feel great. And he was so overjoyed and just like, I feel 100 pounds lighter. He goes, I've never talked about this with anybody. My mom never talked about it again. We never uttered his name again. We never spoke of it again. It was like, oh, I just feel so much relief. I feel so great. He was euphoric. And I was like, this is worth every hour of everything. So yes, major growth. Just that ability to just express it and share it and talk about it with somebody. And I can't even imagine just how therapeutic this is going to be for you.
It really has been. Since I've been working on this project, it's actually become a lot easier for me to talk about my own experiences grieving. And I've always had trouble, even with my own family, opening up. So it is a big deal for me. Okay. I want to ask you, what do you think was the most important source of strength for your students when they were healing from their losses?
I actually think, and I kind of touched upon it in the last one, is they need that outlet. They need that outlet with either a parent. They need that outlet with either friends. They need that outlet, you know, with teachers. They need that outlet, maybe even a therapist. Being able to and have a source of connection, which I think your website is going to be an outstanding place. I really do. They need that ability to do that. And then the second thing that I found in dealing with children that are grieving is they need to continue that relationship with the parent that's gone or the sibling that's gone. Yes, the parent is gone physically, but it doesn't mean that the relationship has to end. Yeah. The relationship simply changes. And so many kids think, I don't have a dad anymore. I don't have a mom anymore. I don't have a brother. I don't have a sister. And that's it. I just don't have them anymore. But that's not true. They're embedded in you. They're a part of you. And I'm here to say, yeah, you do. And they're with you. I had a student from the book you've got two types of parents. Mm-hmm. You've got the parents that are going to acknowledge and try to facilitate grief for the kid, try to talk about it. Then you've got the parents that, it's going to be too hard. Let's not bring it up. Let's not say anything to them. We don't want to hurt their feelings. We don't want to have them remember or remind them of the pain. So we're just not going to say anything. There's two types. And one of the little boys from my class, he's now a grown man, but he was a failing F student. Like that was his life. And he had the parents to not support succeeding in life. And he was doing a soundtrack project and he brought in two pictures that he dug out of a photo album of him and his mother together because there were no pictures of the mother in the home at all. So he probably didn't even know or remember what did mom look like. So he brings it in and of course he forgets it in my classroom. So I decide, I'm gonna frame it. So came back to school the next day and I said, I got you something. And he says, what? And I had it framed and I gave it to him in a little bag and he looked at it and he was just so overwhelmed.
Wow.
He's a tough guy. A tough guy. So he goes, what? And I go, this is for you to put next to your bed. I said, look at how your mother's looking at you in that picture. And he's like, wow. I go, that's love.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, put it next to your bed. And I go, when you wake up, you say, good morning, mom. And when you go to bed, you say, good night. And so he transformed his life, contacting me after he left me because they go to high school. He was now passing school. He has since contacted me since out of high school. He's now got a job where he's being promoted. And he's like, it just bringing his mom back into his life and knowing that he was loved and that he could interact with her and see her when he wanted to. Yeah, and it changed his life.
What you said is really important and really good advice.
Yeah.
Okay. And because you're not part of your students' family, their immediate support systems, what was the best way for you and also their classmates to support them?
through these losses?
You know, surprisingly, because I've been, again, my 28 years have been in middle school teaching. And surprisingly, they were really compassionate. So they were supportive. I mean, as much as they can be without making the kid uncomfortable. You know, and I kind of touched on families. We've just got to hope that families are approaching the loss the right way. Because again, you've got two kinds. Those that are going to try to get them help and those that are going to try to save them. And so we're not going to mention because we don't want to hurt them more. So outside of that, you know, with the classmates, you know, if they have a best friend or their friends are listening to this or whatever, you know, just I would say to the friends when the time is right, you know, talk about it with the friend. Ask to see photo albums. Engage them in stories behind the pictures. Maybe if you've got a friend and it's a real fresh loss, establish a check-in system. Look, I know this is an awful time for you. I'm just going to say checking in. Thumbs up, sideways, thumbs down. I am here for you when you are ready. That way, if they want to engage, they will engage. You're not forcing conversation on them or anything like that. As far as families go, families can continue to keep that. I mean, that person is embedded in your life. You lost your father. He's a part of your life for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Again, the relationship's just changed its appearance. Okay. So through anniversaries of death or birthdays for dad, I hope you're eating his favorite meal. I hope everybody's eating his favorite dish. Whatever it is, we're making it that day. If it's the anniversary of his death, my daughter and I, we send helium balloons up to my mother where we write notes on them with a Sharpie. And we're always letting her know and celebrating her. And that's how we do it. For holidays, we set up table place setting for the person that's not with us anymore, but what's with us in our heart. And this is the most important thing too, is you, again, as parents, send them to camps. There's this, I'm telling you, there's a camp, it's called Camp Aaron. It's free for any kids 6 through 17. They're nationwide. Every Major League Baseball city has one in additional locations. There's 37 locations and 40 camp sessions every year. And it's camp, so it's fun camp, but it's also everyone in your cabin has suffered a loss just like you have. There are group sessions. I cannot even express to you the growth that I saw in that setting. And I will tell you that you will, being in there and hearing the different stories and the bonding that goes on there, as well as having camp activities, it's really just an outstanding healing opportunity.
Yeah, definitely. Wow. Okay, so if you had any final takeaways that you think my listeners could benefit from, what would they be?
Your listeners are either going to be possibly expecting a loss or have suffered from one.
Mm-hmm.
And my final words to them would be to know that the relationship doesn't end, it simply changes, and that your loved one will be with you always. And my second book, which is What I Couldn't Teach You in the Classroom, talks about instances where my loved ones have come back to let me know. I don't know the story behind your loss with your father, but before I lost my mother, we devoured any and every book on what happens when you die. So I said, Mom, if this is true, come back and let me know. And she has come back multiple times. I put on a show at school. Before the show at school, there was a song, and all the kids brought their pictures of the ones that had passed. And it was a dedication to our loved ones that were no longer with us. And my mom was throughout it. So this song's playing. I put the CD in. It was not on that CD. That song was not on that CD. And all my students from the show were ready and expecting the song that was on the CD. And I'm going, and before that changed, and played that other song, the digital started going, and I'm like, ah, we broke the machine because it was going haywire. Then it stopped and started going one, two, and it played that other song. And I looked at the boy that was sitting next to me at the tech. He was one of the ones that was going to run the sound. And I go, and he goes, we hit eject, and it was that. And he goes, oh, this is weird. I'm bringing garlic tonight, Mr. Marrow. I said, and you know what? I forgot to tell you, it was the anniversary of her death.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Yes. So that book, obviously I can't teach that in the classroom. Mm-hmm. So that book is, that's my message to these people, is that if when you are ready, you won't receive a message until they know you are ready. But you will, if you are open to receiving them, receive them. We all have to join this club. Unfortunately, you joined it much earlier than most people. Mm-hmm. And I'm so sorry for your loss, but it has morphed into a healing vehicle for so many more young people. And I'm so excited for you.
Thank you so much. And Ms. Romero, thank you also for your time and insight. This is Lulu Sullivan, and thank you for listening to Teen Grief.